Amen. Well, good morning again. Good to see everybody here. Got a beautiful day, don't we? Well, I have to tell you, I've got a confession to make before we get started. It's always good to confess, right? My wife helps me get dressed when I'm going anywhere, okay? She tells me, you need to wear this, you need to wear that. That does not match. I can't believe you're going to leave here with that. And so I get here, and then Keith Jones walks up to me. It's like he's all of a sudden become my second wife. He said, look, you're either going to have to talk faster or quit sooner. So I just want you to be prepared this morning. You know, I've had a little problem juggling this outline. I'm not used to going by outlines like I should be. And so I'm struggling with that a little bit, but hold on this morning. We're going to take off here in just a second and go. Well, we've been studying about courage, how to be a courageous Christian. Today we're going to study about courage to trust. You know, well, what is courage? I wrote down here, it's the ability to act in obedience to God's will, even when faced with fear. That's a pretty good little definition. What about trust? Trust is a firm belief in someone or something. We know our someone is our Lord and Savior. So we can have courageous trust. That's what we want to look at. We want to look at a familiar story this morning in Judges chapter 6. I appreciate the song Onward Christian Soldiers that Brother Danny led us in there. We're going to talk about a Christian soldier this morning. A guy who, against all odds, listened to the Lord, obeyed the Lord, and came out with a tremendous victory. That would be our man, Gideon. So in chapter 6 of Judges, we're going to read 1 through 13. Follow along with me. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but you've not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Abizrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us as into the hand of the Midianites. So as we find Gideon here, he's living during the period of the judges. It was a period of about 340 years where God used judges to come in and basically rescue the Israelites. They had fallen into a pattern of serving the Lord and then getting away from the Lord and began to worship idols. And as they did that, usually the Lord allowed somebody to come in and possess them to move into their land. And that's what happened with the Midianites. And as you can see by Gideon's tone there, there was some doubt in his mind. Where's the Lord? What about all these miracles that we've heard of all these years? We know what our forefathers have taught us, but has God deserted us? So that's kind of where we find him as we look at him this morning. The nation of Israel was under oppression by the Midianites and others, and despite the fact that the result was because of their sin, God still had mercy on them. And we're so thankful for that. That's how he is with us today. We look at our nation, we have a lot of things that we can be disappointed about. And unfortunately, our nation has turned in some ways to idol worship, in the fact that most everything in people's lives today are more important than serving the Lord. True success, I believe, is putting God first. We need to step back every now and then and say, you know, Lord, when you look at me, what do you see? Am I putting you first? Are you first in my life? Do I live my life with the fact that I want to serve you and I want you to be first? There's nothing else before me. And unfortunately, our nation has kind of sunk into that American dream, you know. But the American dream sometimes leaves God out. So that's kind of where the Israelites were. And it led to some things that we'll look at that they had to face. The fact that they were paralyzed by fear. They didn't know what to do. They were afraid. As our scripture there told us in verses 3, you know, they were being abused by the Midianites when they would sow their seeds, and then the seed would begin to come up and they would prosper a little bit. The Midianites would come in and take things from them, take the new crops and leave them with nothing. So they were very impoverished. They were living in a terrible situation. But they allowed fear to cause them to do nothing. And so if we allow fear to rule our lives, we're going to find ourselves unable to do much of anything. And that's a terrible situation to be. You say, oh, Brother Jay, that can't happen to us today. Listen, it happens to us a lot of times, and it sneaks up on us before we know it. That's the way Satan works, isn't it? He's still subtle, still the same old tricks, but yet if we're not careful, we fall for the same thing, and we'll allow things and circumstances to draw us away from the Lord, and just we can become paralyzed by fear. If we allow fear to keep us from doing what we know is right, we're going to miss out on a lot that God has for us. And we know that he has the best that he wants to give us. Well, in this situation, we find Gideon at a wine press, and he's hiding from the Midianites. He's going to thresh some of his wheat so they'll have enough to eat, but he's doing it in isolation. And fear will lead to isolation, as we see in our outline there. He wasn't supposed to be doing that. Normally, when there was threshing of wheat, it was by a group of people. And what they would do would get together, and they would bring the wheat, and they would crack it, beat it down. Then they would take it and throw it in the air. It was usually done on top of a hill where there was a wind that would blow, and it would blow away the chaff and the hulls and the stems, and the grain would fall to the ground. But it was with a group of people. But here we find Gideon, he's isolating himself. We can't do that. We need to take a little note from Gideon here. And when things don't go our way, when trials come, when tribulation come, we don't need to draw back. We need to draw close to each other. Where do we get our fellowship? Right here. Right here at church. That's why we come to church, to draw strength from those with like beliefs. Those that we know love the Lord and want to do right. And church is where we come to get our strength. Wednesday night, that's when we come to get our battery recharged. It's a long week. You know, I start out all full of vim and vigor and fired up, and by Wednesday, I need a little boost. We don't need to isolate ourselves. We need to draw closer to where our strength is, closer to the Lord. Don't turn our back on the Lord. Turn to the Lord. And so Gideon was just kind of following suit there. In Ecclesiastes 4, it says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So we need to draw together, draw closer to each other in times of crisis. God's message to Gideon would eventually put those two words in there. If you go down to verse 23, it says, fear not. We see that numerous times in the Bible. Isaiah 41:10 tells us, for fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. For I, the Lord, thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. We don't have a reason to fear. God's always with us. He never leaves us, never forsakes us. So we need to turn him. We don't need to turn away. We need to turn to. We don't need to look down. We need to look up. That's where our power is. That's where our strength is. Fear weakens us. Our faith in the Lord strengthens us. That's what we need to be carrying ourselves on through our daily lives. Well, Gideon isolated himself, but it also says it leads to discouragement. If we listen to the voice of fear, it will lead us to have a feeling of discouragement and hopelessness. We definitely don't need to get to that point. One of my favorite verses is there, 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's so important. I hope we'd all memorize that verse. So I can't tell you how many times when I would be witnessing to people, trying to lead them to the Lord or help them, counsel them during a situation, and I could use that verse. And look, spirit of fear, it didn't come from God. And I can give them this verse right here. It is not from God. It's from Satan. But you know, we can see in our story that discouragement played out in a couple of ways. First thing Gideon did was he questioned God's power. What do we do when fear comes, when a situation out of our control comes? We need to look to God, but we don't need to question him. Gideon questioned his power. He said, if the Lord be with us, where is he? I don't see him. I see us being overrun. Gideon questioned God's power, but he also questioned God's presence. In our verse 13 in our scripture, the last part of it says, but now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianite. There was Gideon again. He was discouraged. He was questioning God's power and in his presence. Where is he? Where is he? Well, he's right here. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. Fear claims God is gone. But that's never the case. We know that. We've given that in Scripture many times. If God be for us, who can be against us? I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. Those are pretty easy to understand. There's no given. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. There are no buts in there. No what ifs. God stays with us. He always does. Well, God needed to prove that faith comes out victorious. Our second point there is the proving of faith. One thing we need to remember about faith is it's not passive. You know, we can pray for faith and pray for faith and pray for faith. But if we sit there and just wait for God to give us faith, nothing's going to happen. Faith is not passive. It's always responsive to the Word of God. How do we get faith? By obedience. Faith is obedience. And God gave, I love this, because God immediately gave Gideon a test. You know, he said, all right, here's what I want you to do. I want you to follow this. He gave him a commandment that was going to radically change his life and the life of all the people around him. The root of the problem in Israel at that time is the same as the root of the problem today in Israel and in the United States. It's because I spoke just a few minutes ago about idol worship. We've let things come before us and God, in between us and God. When our forefathers set out in this land, God gave those people an opportunity. It's almost like they had a second chance at the Garden of Eden, you know. Our country is the only country in the entire world. Do you realize that we are self-sufficient? We can be self-sufficient. We have everything we need to survive. There's no other country like that. It's the way the Garden of Eden was. That's a J-ism, okay? That's not scripture, okay? That's the way I feel about it. But when we learn to be obedient, we can overcome the idol worship in our lives. What's the most important thing to you? Is it your job? Is it your family? I used to tell my kids when they were growing up, and I'd ask them, I'd say, you know, what do you want to do when you get out on your own? And my son would always say, oh, Dad, I want to be just like you. I thought, oh, Lord, please, no. I told him, you want to be better than I am, son. But what do you think God wants you to be? He said, well, I'm thinking I want to be an engineer. I said, okay. So what would you do to prepare for that? He said, well, I need to go to college. I said, that's right. I said, but let me ask you a question. Is that putting God first? And he just kind of looked at me and he said, well, I think so. I want to do what he wants me to do. I said, well, listen, putting God first is saying, hey, I'll definitely be a missionary. I'll be a priest, or I'll be a full-time pastor. I mean, that's putting God first. And Lord, if you want me to be an engineer, I'll be an engineer. I got four daughters and three granddaughters that are nurses. And I always ask them the same question. I said, what do you want to do? Let the Lord show you what he wants. And then if he wants you to be a nurse, he'll show you that too. But we've gotten kind of past that in our society, in our culture today. It's more about what I want. It's a me thing. And it's all about, you know, technology. I need this, I need that. Sometimes we need to ask ourselves a question. Am I putting God first? Putting God first takes obedience, and that's what Gideon was about to find out. Look down on past our scripture into verse 25 in Judges 6. God sent Israel to strike at the symbols of idolatry that his own father had made. This is what he told him. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock, 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. You know, faith is a growing process. It's listening to what God says in his word and then acting on it. Not being passive, not sitting around waiting, but being obedient to it. Stepping out on faith and doing it. James 1:22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. And I love this quote that's in our outline from D.L. Moody. It says, I prayed for faith and it did not come, but when I read the word of God, then faith came. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Gideon followed what God told him to do, and his faith began to grow. You know, as we become obedient to God, our faith will continually grow. And we need to remember that, you know, salvation is instantaneous. Sanctification, that other big word that's sometimes used, is a process. It's growing from the time we get saved until the time the Lord comes back or he calls us home. We're supposed to be growing, not standing still, not just being in neutral like in our car, but our growth pattern should look like this: becoming more like Jesus every single day. It takes obedience to God's word to do that. So Gideon was learning as he was progressing here. God was showing him slowly the things he needed to do. And one of the things he showed him, if you look at B in our outline there, it says faith is not self-confident. That's a huge point. When Gideon assembled his army to fight the Midianites, they were outnumbered 6-1. That doesn't sound too bad, does it? 6-1. But God knew that if he gave him the victory, that Gideon would claim it. He and his men would claim it. So he didn't give him the victory right there. He wanted the praise to go to God, to himself. He commanded Gideon to take 2 steps. These were huge steps that were going to drastically change the size of his force. You remember what they were? The first one was, he said, Gideon got up in front of the men and he said, if there's anybody afraid, you can leave now. 2/3 of them were gone. that would be a shock right there, wouldn't it? It's bad enough to know that you're about to fight an overwhelming number of trained warriors, and now you just lost 2/3 of your people. That changed the odds quite a bit. It's 13-1 then. Went from 6-1 to 13-1. That meant that Gideon only had 10,000 men, where he started out with 30,000. Judges 7, I'm going to read you just a couple of verses. You don't have to go there. It says, and the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Now therefore go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned to the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. Fear can defeat us before the battle even starts if we allow it to. But we don't have to do that. You know, there's a song, an old gospel song, one of my favorites. I read the back of the book, and we win. Sometimes I just need to step back and say, hey, God's in control. We're not going to lose. We might lose a few battles, but the war's already been won. That's what he was telling Gideon. Gideon was showing that he wanted to be obedient, but then there was a second test he put out to him. He wanted to test to see how many people really wanted to go to battle. And remember, he took them to some water, and when they got to the water, he watched the way they drank water, and that determined who he was going to keep. He said, if there are those and they get out on their hands and knees and they lap the water like a dog, then there are going to be others who are going to stand there and they're going to take it in their hand. He said, that's the ones that you're going to go into battle with. Why? What's the difference? The guys that are like this were focused on the water and drinking. The guys that were lapping were still alert. They were able to see what was going on about them. That's the kind of people we need when we go to war. That's the kind of Christians that we need to be today. We need to understand, and we know there's a spiritual battle that goes on every day. But we've got to be alert. We've got to be prepared. That's why we get up every morning and say, God, I need your guidance today. I can't make it today without you. Holy Spirit, I need to be filled with your power every single day. That's how we can overcome Satan. That's how we can win the spiritual battles. And that's how we can be obedient to God and allow him to live through us And it takes away all the pressure. Gideon was learning, and he did that. So now, he's down to 300 men. 300 men. Now his odds are 450-1. There's no way, is there? It's an impossibility that he could do it on his own. But then the next point there is faith is God confident. It's not self-confident, but it's God confident. That's where we get our confidence. We know that when it's time to go to battle, we need to look up. Say, okay, Lord, I need your help again. I need you to give me wisdom. I need you to give me guidance in this situation that I don't make a mistake, that I follow your will, that I'm obedient to you. And that's what he was trying to teach Gideon. If we find ourselves in a place where there seems to be no hope, there is hope. It's always our hope. God, when God looked at Gideon to begin with, he saw some potential. You know, every one of us have potential. Maybe we don't think that, but we do. In God's eyes, we have potential. He can use us. He will use us. When he saw Gideon to begin with, what was he doing? He was hiding behind a wine press. But God saw, remember what the angel said? Thou faithful warrior, thou valiant man. God takes ordinary people and does extraordinary things with them. It's all through the Bible. Here he's taking Gideon, someone who was hiding, and he's going to make him a great warrior, a valiant general. God doesn't just sort out somebody who's not usable. If we're available, he'll use us. We do have to be available. Gideon just didn't wildly go out on his own, though. As God began to work with him, he followed the instructions of God, and God blessed his faith. If we follow God, God blesses us. We have blessings every day. Sometimes we overlook them. Sometimes we get so caught up in life, our work, our family, and things like that, that we forget about the blessings that God gives us every single day. His watch care over us. Get out there on 35 during rush hour. I promise you, God's looking over you. I mean, you're this far from somebody looking in the opposite direction, and boom, look at the plane crashes. God watches over us. He provides for us. When he asks us to do something, we also need to remember that he will always give us what we need to be successful, to accomplish what goal he has for us. He'll give us the strength. He'll give us the resources that we need. He's faithful. Well, God bless Gideon's faithfulness. And then the third point there says the provision for the faithful. What did God give Gideon that made him courageous? What does he give us this day and time that we can be courageous? Well, the first thing he gave him was wisdom. Gideon was hopelessly outnumbered, but God gave him a plan. God has given us a plan. You know, God has a purpose for each of our lives. We need to figure out what that is. There again, don't just sit on the couch and say, God, what's your plan for me? I know you have a plan, Lord. What is it? Earnestly seek God's plan, and he will point it out to you. God wants to use each one of us. He's got something that each of us can do that somebody else either can or won't do, or he wants us to do it. I pick on Keith back there in the audio visual and everything, but do you realize how important they are? I think we take them for granted a lot of times, you know. When do we acknowledge the audiovisual people? When something happens, we all go, wonder who's back there today. Wonder who messed that. Brother Peoples just said, it's me. It's me. They do a lot of things that make the service go the way it should. We take it for granted, just like we take a lot of the blessings of the Lord for granted. I did that for 20-something years. I'm so thankful I'm not back there anymore. So but pray for them. Think about the things God does for us, the thing God gives us, the way he blesses us. But he gives us wisdom. He gave Gideon wisdom enough to follow him. And so he did. He said, James 1 says, if any of you lack wisdom, ask the Lord and he'll give it to us. What does he say? Liberally. To all men, not just preachers, not just son, all men. God's word is available to all of us if we'll take advantage of it. Every commandment, every promise is meant for each one of us. So Gideon set the example. You know, when you get a position of leadership, there's an accountability that comes along with it. When I was in the army, I was a nobody, and I was so thankful. I was glad that nobody knew my name. They only knew me about, hey, you. With leadership comes accountability. Great leaders lead. What happened to David when he didn't lead, when he wasn't where he was supposed to be? Gideon, in this case, was available to lead, and he did. He led the people. He was right out front. And as a situation, we know as it comes, and I've got to hurry or Keith's going to cut me off. They went to battle. And think about this. Not only did Gideon be where he was supposed to be, the 300 men did too. Okay? How would you like it if Ron Baldwin came up to you? He was our general, and he says, hey, we're going to battle today. Pick up that pitcher, put a light in it, and get a trumpet. Get an old ram's horn. He says, we're going to battle. I'd look at him and say, not me, Bo. I'm not going with you. But they were obedient, and they followed the leader. We got a great leader God's given us here. Brother Gillett, young man, wow. What wisdom God has given him. We're so blessed at Worth Baptist Church. First Dr. Barber, then Dr. Weaver, and now Brother Gillett. Wow, what leadership we need to follow. Those men followed and they had success. They won the victory. The men stood in their place. Gideon stood in his place. And God gave them victory. So what's the conclusion? What do we get out of this lesson? The rest of the story is, that I don't have time to get into, is they kept on. They just didn't win that battle. They kept on until they kicked them all the way out of Israel. Does that sound familiar? Is something going on today? The Israelites in battle, they want to kick them completely out. But others, even the United States of America, doesn't want them to do that. So anyway, that's another day, another story. But the conclusion is, we're going to go through battles in our Christian life. First thing is, are we going to be willing to fight those battles? Not run from them, but meet them head on. We can do that because we know who's in control. We know it's the Lord. He's our leader. We need to follow. And everything will be just fine. Turn out right. We can have the courage that Gideon had, because we can be obedient to God's word, because he will never leave us, never forsake us. He will lead us to victory. Father, we thank you once again for your word today. Thank you that we can look into it, Lord, and you give us fantastic examples on how to live our lives in such a way that will not only be pleasing to you, but it will bring praise and honor and glory to you, and it will help us to be victorious in this life that you would have us to live. Give us an opportunity this week to live for you, Lord, and help us to step out on faith, knowing that we have all the power, all the resource we need. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.